Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Boston City Council has unanimously approved a task force to explore the issue of reparations for Black Bostonians. And I would say that's a pretty big deal. So I'm here with Mass Live reporting fellow Alvin Buyenza, who covered the historic vote, and he's here to discuss with us what the task force will look like and the actual task that lies ahead. Alvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Daryl.
All right. So my very first question is, when do the checks go out? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. But seriously, though, you know, it's so nice to talk to you about this because, you know, one of the first stories I did for WBUR was about Boston being among the cities to take on reparations. And now, you know, here we are having this conversation. So this is pretty cool. So as I stated before, the city councilors, they voted unanimously to create this task force. Before we get into the details, just give us a little background on this decision.
It was first proposed in February by Councilor at Large Julia Mejia. Then a couple months down the line in June, the city council voted on a resolution proposed by Tanya Ferguson Anderson, which stated that the city must form a formal apology for its role in slavery. And now in December, December 14th, the Boston City Council voted to form a 15-member task force to study reparations in the city, five of which of these members, the ordinance states, must be people who have ancestors who were enslaved Africans.
So do they have any idea of who exactly would be on the task force?
It consists of representatives from the NAACP Boston, New Democracy Coalition, King Boston, UMass Boston Africana Studies Department, the UN Central Diaspora Afro, and there are 10 members from a pool of applicants that were recommended by current commissioners.
Okay. Now, take us back to the meeting where the councilors voted. What happened there?
The meeting was really interesting because what we saw was almost every single member of the Boston City Council speaking on why this was so important, what was historical and groundbreaking about this decision, and talking about a call to action and saying, we really need to, as a city, start taking the bull by the horns. What is a tangible way we can provide equity to the most marginalized group in this city, which is Black Bostonians. Let's push ourselves further than the apology and the symbolism. Let's go in and say, what is something that is going to economically mobilize and give greater access and opportunities to Black people living in Boston? One of the quotes that I love that Fernandez Anderson said, we are a rich city and one of the richest in the country. We have hospitals, universities, and museums that are worth millions and millions of dollars and that have grown rich from the labor of Black people, both paid and unpaid. They need to be a part of this process. It is a very wealthy city, but it just didn't get wealthy overnight. Its wealth is rooted within the oppression of Black people, the enslavement, the chattel slavery system. It's rooted in that. It's rooted in the fact that there are Black people who have lived their entire lives in the city, and yet they're struggling to get by paycheck to paycheck to live here. They may not be able to send their children to the best schools. They may not be able to get the best access to healthcare, but they have ancestors who literally built this city that is giving the greatest amount of access and opportunities to wealthy white Americans. And she's saying, you know, if this is really a great city and one of the richest cities, then it needs to be able to give something back to the people who built it. They need to be able to be given something that can generate large amounts of equity for them, that can give them the access, the opportunities, the economic mobilization they need to live, not just survive, but to live in this city. And so every single person, almost every single counselor, kind of spoke around something around this. They talked about how important this was to Black Bostonians, that we're finally getting, you know, in the weeds and saying, hey, let's now start giving something back to Black people in Boston. What do they need? Let's push beyond the symbolism and let's start really doing something tangible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I'm listening to you talk, I'm reminded that, you know, Black people have been in Boston for centuries, like, you know, since the 1600s, you know what I mean? And so when you think about those structural inequities, it's like you are denying Bostonians their right to a good livelihood. Do they have any idea of where that work begins for the task force? Like, give me an example of what that looks like specifically.
So according to Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, there's going to be three phases of this task force. The first phase would be to research and document Boston's role in the African slave trade. Phase two would be to assess Boston's actions to date to address the continued impact of slavery. And then finally, they would make recommendations to the city for, quote, truth, reconciliation, and reparations for its role in the slave trade. The task force, you know, some of its responsibilities include, you know, defining what reparations means in terms of the Boston community, you know, collecting data around historic harms, you know, in education, development, economic areas, housing, health. I know in the ordinance, one of the things that was cited was the 2015 Color of Wealth in Boston report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. And according to the report, it says the median wealth of white families in the city was $247,500, but the median wealth for Black families was only $8. You know, I think the task force is really going to start getting into the weeds of figuring out what are we first dealing with? You know, where are the gaps? And then, you know, like good doctors going in and saying, okay, here are the recommendations, here are some of the treatments we can do.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on Boston's Reparations Task Force.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Is this the first time reparations has been brought up at this level for the city of Boston, or just be it at the local level or at the state level? You know, is this the first time folks are having this discussion in those spaces?
So, no, it is not. Through the meeting, the famous person who was really, really cited was the late Senator Bill Owens. He was a Democrat, and he was Massachusetts' first Black senator, which is groundbreaking. And he was credited for essentially initiating the conversation on reparations in the state. Senator Bill Owens was really famous for his late 1980s bill, you know, that would have required state governments to pay reparations to Massachusetts descendants of enslaved Black Americans. So they really did credit Senator Bill Owens.
Got it. And, you know, reparations is a pretty radical idea for a lot of people.
Yes.
Even in some of the most liberal spaces where there's a lot of tolerance, but when you dig deep, you start to see some systemic problems that need to be addressed. And discussing those things and talking about what it takes to correct those things, it gets kind of touchy for some people because that's where the real work is. So I'm curious to know, has there been any sort of pushback?
So I don't think there were any people who reluctantly voted against it. Once again, this was a unanimous vote. Mm-hmm. However, if you do watch the city council meeting, if you did watch, there was a moment where a comment was brought up. You know, I'm supportive of a task force to study reparations. Mm-hmm. But let me point out that Massachusetts was the first state to ban slavery. And there's kind of an issue with saying that because, A, it's like trying to reward a state.
Patting yourself on the back for doing the bare minimum.
For doing the bare minimum. And second of all, What is the goal of saying that? What is the point of saying that? Okay, Massachusetts was the first state to ban slavery. Okay, but you know what? Boston and Massachusetts in general is still very, very, very unequal. And it is still, I would say, just like the rest of this country, is really not doing a great job in providing equitable opportunities for African Americans.
Understood. You know, Alvin, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. This is a topic I'm really interested in because, you know, it's not so much of, you know, what there is for Black folks to gain, but just the fact that we're having the conversation and these type of laws and policies and things are being discussed, it's really interesting to me. It's really something. So there's definitely a lot to critique and there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, I do see it as a step in the right direction. So thank you for coming by and talking to us about this. It was truly a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Daryl.
That's MassLive reporting fellow Alvin Buyenza. And that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Common. And please hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon. Or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.